2 weeks ago, at our study meeting, remember we discussed a view that was presented by Father John Edgar concerning the beginning of the Jubilee year. Now, this view appears, as you remember, in the Tower article, page 3574. And basically, it brings out the thought that the land rested for 18 months. And that was due to Israel's civil year as well as its religious year. But Brother George Tabak doesn't quite share this viewpoint. And so he's going to, this morning, show us that the Jubilee year commenced following the 49th year and try to show, scripturally and otherwise, that the land actually rested 2 full years. Now, since this presentation is bound to generate some questions, we're going to give the brethren an opportunity to ask questions based on his discussion this morning at the study meeting. And so we would encourage you to try to jot down some of these questions and have these ready, because during the study meeting, which is to follow, Brother George Tabak will be glad to answer any questions that may arise as a result of his discourse this morning. And so his subject for this morning is entitled, The Sabbath and Jubilee Years. Brother George Tabak.
Thank you, Brother Edmund. Well, dear brethren, we'd just like to mention before we begin our consideration, our lesson this morning, that it is a very complex and technical subject, and that unless we prepare our minds now for the realization that unless we keep attentive with all that we are capable of, we will soon miss one point. And if we miss one point, as the logic builds, we will be kind of in the dark. We won't know the logic as it progresses. So if we can, let's make our minds as attentive as we possibly can in the hour to follow. It perhaps might be the most difficult talk you've ever had to listen to. And also, we would like to request for, if we can, to withhold an evaluation until the conclusion of the whole line of reasoning. You know, we all have certain viewpoints and ideas that perhaps we've held for years, as I know I myself have many a time. And if we can just withhold evaluation until we've heard the whole line of reasoning, perhaps it would be for the best. Now, before we express the purpose for the talk, just exactly what we want to accomplish, we'd like to very briefly look at the Jubilee arrangement as it was given to Israel when they were about to enter the land. When they were told that when they entered the land that God would give them, they were to observe a Jubilee system. And we recall very briefly what it was. 6 days they were to labor, the seventh was to be a day of rest. And then they had a Jubilee day. Every 7 days there was a Sabbath, and there were seven of these Sabbaths, making a total of 49 days, and that was followed by a 50th Pentecost day, the day of Pentecost. It was a Jubilee day from that standpoint, being the 50th. And then also they had a Sabbath system relative to the years. For 6 years, the land was to be sowed and reaped. The seventh, one out of every 7 years, in other words, the land was to rest. There would be no sowing nor reaping. And then there were seven of these seven Sabbath years. Every seventh year was a day or a year of rest. The seventh was a year of rest, the 14th, 21st, and so on. And after the 49th year, there was to be a Jubilee year, the 50th. And we have learned through our studies of the volumes how beautiful a type this was, because it was the Jubilee type with its exactness of chronology that enabled Brother Russell to determine exactly when the times of restitution were to begin. And as a result of knowing that, you notice in the last few pages of the volume prior to the chapter on the Jubilees, Brother Russell said, because of knowing when the times of restitution would begin, he knew when the Lord's presence would begin, the return of our Lord. So it is a most important type, and we want to have it understood in its fullness. One other aspect we would like to touch upon is, in our consideration, there's going to be constant reference to civil year and a religious year and a Sabbath year. And we'd like to note the distinction. We focus that on. Okay. The religious year is not the Sabbath year. Let's get that distinction. The Sabbath year was a year that happened only once every 7 years, where the land was resting for 1 year. The religious year was a year that was every year. It just is a name that we refer to the time period that they used their calendar, as it were. It began in the spring, about April 1st, Nisan 1st. Spring to spring, April to April. This is the religious year. Every year there was a religious year. The Sabbath year was one in seven. Now, the civil year was a different year, just like we have our fiscal year and then our January to January year. The civil year began in the fall, in October, fall to fall, about October 1st, or it is known as the month Tishri, the Jewish month Tishri. This is the seventh month of the religious year, and this is why you sometimes hear the Day of Atonement referred to as the 10th day of the seventh month. It is referring to the month Tishri, which began the civil year. And we'd like to note that there's no question in anyone's mind that the Jubilee year was a year that was a civil year, fall to fall, because the Jubilee trumpet was blown on the Day of Atonement, 10 days after the month Tishri started. And this is therefore the Jubilee year. Well, now with that preface, we'd like to mention the purpose for our lesson this morning. As the brethren are aware, in our last few studies, there has been thought brought up, presented, that has been presented in the reprints on page 35, 74 to 79, a letter of Brother Edgar that he wrote to Brother Russell. Now, we would like to mention, too, that view of Brother Edgar's, we'll note later, was changed. It was just a very early view of his. But brethren as a whole have accepted that interpretation. There are many charts that have come out in recent times. Here's one of them. And basically, we'll go into more detail, but what it boils down to is that the religious year, or the Sabbath year, this is the one in seven, the Sabbath year followed the religious year. It was from spring to spring. And the Jubilee year was from fall to fall. They were two different years. Here's another chart that perhaps a little easier, can we focus this side? A little easier to ascertain the picture of what's taking place. The Sabbath year here is the sacred or the religious year. It's the year that goes from spring to spring. Now, this is the interpretation based on Brother Edgar's letter, that the Sabbath year was a year from spring to spring. The Jubilee year was a year from fall to fall. Now, what we want to emphasize, if we didn't go any further, is shouldn't this put a question mark in our minds on the interpretation? We noted that in all of our chronology, in the Sabbath system, there were to be 49 years, full 49, plus one, the 50th year. And all our chronology is based on 50-year cycles. You recall that the Jubilee was a type. The 7 times 7 squaring of the number was a type of the 50 times 50 cycle. It requires a 50-year period for the Jubilee cycle. But now with this interpretation, we have only 49 and a half years in the Jubilee cycle. The Sabbath year began in the spring, and when it was only half over, the Jubilee year began. And then the Jubilee year being the civil year was here. So you had only one half year of the 49th over before the Jubilee began. Well, now, brethren, some of our brethren who do not feel that the Jubilee is a chronological type pointing to the times of restitution have taken this point and say, well, the Jubilee is not an exact chronological type. Your own chart, our own chart, show that it isn't. Here we're saying that it's not a 50-year cycle, it's 49 and a half years. And if this were so, you know, brethren, the brethren have a point. It should make us question whether or not that could be correct. Because you recall in Leviticus 25, 8 to 10, where we have the instructions for the observing of the Jubilee, note what it says. Thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. We have 49 years being referred to. After 49 years, then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. Now this is the 10th day of the month Tishri, the beginning of the civil year. In the Day of Atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And notice the next line, brethren. It doesn't say, thou shalt hallow the 49th and a half year. You shall hallow the 50th year. There were 49, and then began the 50th, a Jubilee, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. And so that 50th year, the cycle of 50 times 50, bringing us to the antitypical Jubilee, the great times of restitution that began with our Lord's return. It is a beautiful type, an exact type. And what we will endeavor to show and to prove that is that the 49th or the Sabbath year was a civil year exactly like the Jubilee year. And therefore the cycle is 49 plus 1, giving a full 50. Well, now, why did this conclusion of Brother Edgar initially come into the reprints? What was it based on? Well, it was primarily based on this scripture, Leviticus 25, 20 to 22. This is in the context of the Jubilee chapter, 25th chapter. Notice what it says. And if ye shall say, what shall we eat the 7th year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. God asks a hypothetical question, in other words, for Israel. What are we going to eat during the Sabbath year? We can't sow or reap. God answers, then I will command my blessing upon you in the 6th year, and it shall bring forth for 3 years. And ye shall sow the 8th year, and eat yet of old fruit until the 9th year. Until her fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store. So the brethren have applied this scripture, endeavored to apply it to the Jubilee year. And it does seem to make sense. We're going to go to a chart now, but just let's reflect on this one sentence. Here is where the problem area comes in. And ye shall sow the 8th year. I kind of just bear that point in mind. Here is a chart endeavoring to portray this scripture of Leviticus 25 to a Jubilee year, and as if the Sabbath year was a civil year. Now, it seems to apply at first to the Jubilee year quite well, because it says, in the 6th year, I will have the land bring forth for 3 years. Well, that would seem to follow all right. The 49th year would be the Sabbath year, and then it would bring forth for the Jubilee year, the 50th, and then they would sow, but it would take till the end of the year for the harvest to come in, so the land would bring forth for 3 years, the Sabbath, the Jubilee, and the 9th year following. Seems to fit. However, there's one problem. It said in Leviticus 25, ye shall sow the 8th year. Now, the 8th year would have been the Jubilee year. And Leviticus 25:11 specifically said that they could not sow or reap in the Jubilee year, where this scripture says they were to sow the 8th year. Therefore, this chart must be wrong. It cannot be correct. It cannot be applying it to a jubilee. And so, the conclusion that Brother Edgar and other brethren have come to after reading his commentary was that we have to apply a different interpretation to the Sabbath year. Now, if we make the Sabbath year a religious year, that is, a year from spring to spring, this Leviticus 25 could be harmonized, and it could apply to the Jubilees. And this is what the reasoning is. Again, the Sabbath year is a sacred year, spring to spring. So now, the interpretation is this. In the sixth year, it would bring forth food for 3 years. The Sabbath year, the next year, and then the ninth year afterwards. So that seems to follow all right. And then it also would harmonize the aspect that you can sow the eighth year. Because if you made the Sabbath year a year from spring to spring, and we know the Jubilee year is from fall to fall, well, the Jubilee would start only after 6 months of the Sabbath year, and therefore would be over after only 6 months of the eighth year. And so they could sow the eighth year, because the Jubilee is over now. And so they could sow in this period of time, and then they could be reaping here. Well, that seems to fit. That was the conclusion, the deduction the brethren have come to. But now let us look into, this seems to fit Leviticus 25. But again, recall what it does. We have a Jubilee cycle, the Jubilee year starting after only 48 and a half years have transpired, not full 49. And that should make us weary, but alert us to the fact that something isn't quite right. And so, brethren, in that process, we see what took place. The chart seems to fit Leviticus 25, but our chronology is questioned. So let us go on now, and we'll endeavor to prove that the Sabbath year is a civil year, and it will harmonize beautifully. And Leviticus 25, 20 to 22 will harmonize beautifully when it is applied to a Sabbath year and not a Jubilee year. We'll get into that shortly. Now, first of all, we'd like to note that all the commentators, at least that I have at home, concur that the Sabbath year is a civil year, just like the Jubilee year. McClintock and Strong, Volume 9, page 201. Time, observance, and limits of the sabbatical year. The sabbatical year, like the year of Jubilee, began on the first day of the civil new year, the first of the month Tishri. Couldn't be much plainer. Comments from Ellicott's commentary. This is on Leviticus 25, 20 to 22. He's commenting on that particular, those three verses that are a problem area. As the sabbatical year began the civil year, namely first of Tishri, which was in the autumn or in September, the 3 years here spoken of are to be distributed as follows. You won't grasp this just from reading now, but we believe this is correct. The remainder of the sixth year after the harvest, the whole of the seventh year, and the period of the eighth year till the harvest is gathered in from the seed sown in the eighth year. But the main thing we want to note, the sabbatical year began the civil year, namely first of Tishri. Lang's commentary. The omission of sowing and reaping presuppose that the sabbatical year commenced with the civil year, in the autumn of the sixth year of labor, and not with the ecclesiastical year, on the first of Abib or Nisan, and that it lasted till the autumn of the seventh year, when the cultivation of the land would commence again with the preparation of the ground and the sowing of the seed for the eighth year. We might mention that Smith's Bible Dictionary concurs. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown concurs. Wycliffe Commentary concurs. All agree the civil year, or the Sabbath year, was a civil year. But we can't depend just on commentaries. We have to have a "Thus saith the Lord" for everything that we believe. And brethren, we do believe that we have a "Thus saith the Lord." In the scripture of Deuteronomy 31, verses 10 and 11. What this in essence is telling Israel is that once every seventh year, at the end of the Sabbath year, they are to read the law to Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before Israel in their hearing. So now let's back up and analyze that a little. They're to read the law once every 7 years. At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, they were to read it. What is the year of release? It's the Sabbath year. Notice Deuteronomy 15, 1 and 2. It uses these exact words in reference to the Sabbath year. At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. This is referring to the Sabbath year. We recall we studied that 2 weeks ago. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. And so, the Sabbath year is the year of release. We come back to Deuteronomy 31 again. And what we see then is that they will read this law at the end of every 7 years in the Sabbath year, the year of release. But here is the phrase that ties this together, brethren. We believe beyond any shadow of doubt that the Sabbath year is a civil year. They're to read it at the end of every 7 years of the year of release, the Sabbath year, in the Feast of Tabernacles. What was the Feast of Tabernacles, or when was it? It was 5 days after the Day of Atonement, Leviticus 23, verse 34. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles, for 7 days unto the Lord. The 10th day of the seventh month is the Day of Atonement. That's 10 days after the civil new year begins, the first of Tishri. The Feast of Tabernacles is the 15th day, 5 days after the Day of Atonement. And so, brethren, what we have is actually the scripture of Deuteronomy 31 is telling us, at the end of every seventh year, which was now the year of release, the Sabbath year, in the Feast of Tabernacles. And when was it? October 1st began the civil new year. October 10th was the Day of Atonement, and that's when the Jubilee trumpet was blown. The Jubilee began. And 5 days later was the Feast of Tabernacles. And so the scripture is telling us that at the end of every 7 years, in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, thou shalt read the law. It seems rather conclusive to us that there could only be one understanding or interpretation. The Sabbath year was a civil year, fall to fall, because that is when they were to read the law, and that is when the Feast of Tabernacles took place. But now we will go on to see how are we going to harmonize Leviticus 25. This scripture does seem to be teaching this. You can't find any dispute with it, we don't believe. But yet now we have another problem, Leviticus 25. Let's read it again. Note the prime points that we have to harmonize here. They ask the question, what shall we eat the seventh year? And God says, I will command my blessing in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. You shall sow the eighth year and eat yet of old fruit until the ninth year. Now, if we apply this scripture to the Jubilee year as we did before, a moment ago, you recall the problem. It says that they were to sow the eighth year. And the eighth year would have been the Jubilee year, and it specifically said we could not sow the eighth year. And so Leviticus 25 does not apply to a Jubilee year. But now let us go on to see what we believe is the correct application of Leviticus 25:20-22. We believe, as we have just shown in Deuteronomy 31, that the Sabbath year was a civil year, fall to fall. And we believe that Leviticus 25 is referring to only a Sabbath year and not the Jubilee year. With this in mind, let us note how beautifully it harmonizes. First of all, in order to understand these scriptures, we have to have an understanding of when was the sowing time and when was the reaping time in Israel. And what we find here is here's the sixth year being again the civil year, October to October. Right after, a little bit after October 1st, is when they began to sow. Here's the sowing portion shown with the lines vertically. This is where they sowed the wheat and the barley in October. The harvest of the wheat and the barley was in the last half of the civil year. Here's April, and here's where the harvest began. The barley harvest was first. And this is, remember, in the 16th of Nisan, they were to bring the first fruits of the land, the first sheaves. That was the barley sheaf. It was right after Nisan began. So there's where the barley harvest is. The wheat harvest is a little bit later, and then the first ripe grapes, the figs and the olives, comes a little bit later in the year, towards the end of summer, and then you have the late summer fruits coming in September. So this is how the sowing cycle of the year was. Sowing, starting in the fall, and then there was the reaping. Well, now, bearing that in mind, we notice that in our scripture it said that the sixth year God would command the land to bring forth food for 3 years. Here is what we believe is referred to. It isn't going to be a full 3 years. It's going to be parts of 3 years, almost 3 years, about 30 months, total time that they would gain food from the sixth year. Here's where the sixth year food was sown, and here is where it was reaped in various stages. And so the food of the sixth year provided food for the last half of the sixth year, for all of the seventh year, which was the Sabbath year, where they could not sow or reap. And it also provided food for the eighth year, until the fruit of the eighth year came in. They could sow the eighth year. And remember, the scripture said, "Thou shalt sow the eighth year." Well, it's referring to after the end of the Sabbath year in October. They could sow. But the food, of course, wouldn't come in until various stages. The last part of the harvest would be at the end of the year. So in reality, the food of the sixth year did give them food for a total of 30 months, from the last half of the sixth until the food of the eighth came all in. This is parts of 3 years, 30 months. But now, another point we would like to note is that it said, sometimes we think in terms of the fact that the food was eaten of the sixth year during the ninth year, because it says, "Ye shall sow the eighth year and eat yet of old fruit until the ninth year. Until her fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store." But what we want to notice is it doesn't say they're going to eat the food in the ninth year, merely until the ninth year. There's a distinction. They were to eat the fruit of the sixth year until the ninth year. And this last phrase, "until her fruits come in, ye shall eat of it," is not referring to fruits of the ninth year, but the fruits of the eighth year, because they were to sow in the eighth year, and they would still eat of the old fruit of the sixth year until the ninth year, until the fruit of the eighth year comes in, ye shall eat of the old store. And so we have this chart again, showing, we're trying to go back and to summarize and emphasize, because we know, if your head is spinning, don't feel bad, so is mine. Here's the 30 months that they have fruit of the sixth year. The last half of the sixth, all of the Sabbath, and during the eighth. They begin to sow here, but they still eat fruit of the old year until the harvest is fully brought in at the end of the eighth. They will eat until the ninth year, not during the ninth year. Now, one other aspect, and we think this is important, that this chart will show us, is that the land rested 1 year, and only 1 year, in each of the 7 year cycles. Notice, beginning with the Sabbath year being a civil year, which we believe it is, you have the sowing at the first part of the year in October, and the reaping is the last part, from April through September. And so with this in mind, the land here was producing, it was working, sowing and reaping up to this point. There it was cut off. There was no sowing done the first half of the seventh. There was no reaping done the last half of the seventh. And they sowed immediately after the seventh year. So the land rests 1 year each 7 years. Now this is important. For if the Sabbath year is not a civil year, but a religious year, notice how long the land would have to rest. It would have to rest 2 years. Now, this is if. This is, we believe, is not correct. But if it was, if the Sabbath year was a religious year, it would be a year from spring to spring. Therefore, the first part of the year would be the time which would be reaping the previous year's growth. The last half of the year would be sowing. Well, if God told Israel they could not reap in the seventh year, what would have been the sense of sowing the period right before the Sabbath year? There would be no sense to sow here. So the land would begin to rest here. And also, the seventh year then would be over, and you'd come into the eighth year. But the beginning of the eighth year is not a sowing time. It's a reaping time, if the Sabbath year was a religious year. So the first half of the eighth year, the land would lie idle because you couldn't sow. It was the reaping time, so it did nothing. So notice, if the Sabbath year was a religious year, the land would have had to rest 24 months during each seven-year period. We don't believe this is what God had in mind at all. Because notice what Leviticus 25, 2, 3, and 4 said. Land was to rest 1 year in seven, not two. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years, notice, 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall it be a Sabbath of rest. So there was only 1 year that was to rest, the land was to rest, not two. And again, just to corroborate again, notice with what we believe is the correct understanding of the Sabbath year, that is, that it's a civil year, the land does rest 1 year. The harvest takes place just before the beginning of the Sabbath year. It rests the entire Sabbath year, and then you could begin to sow. The land no longer rests. It rests only the 1 year. Well, now let's go on to consider a few other possible objections that could be raised against applying Leviticus 25, 20 to 22 to a Sabbath year. The thought might be raised, well, this scripture appears in the context of the Jubilee. Why are you applying it only to the Sabbath year? It's in the context of a Jubilee year. And brethren, it is. It's in the context of the 25th chapter. But even as in our King James Bible, you know, where they give you paragraph indentation marks showing a new thought, even King James shows these paragraph designations. It talks first of all about the Sabbath in verses 1 to 7, the Jubilee 8 to 17, and then God goes back to elaborate further on something relative to the Sabbath year in verses 18 to 22, and then it goes on to the Jubilee. Now, if God in these verses really meant that when he said here the sixth and seventh years, he really meant the 48th, the 49th, and the 50th, and the 51st year, why didn't God so state it? He refers to the 49th and the 50th years in reference to the Jubilee. If that's what he had in mind, why didn't it state it here? Because the seventh year could apply to any Sabbath year, the 7th, 14th, 21st, 28th, and so on. If he meant only one of those Sabbaths, why didn't he say, what shall we eat the 49th year, for instance? But it doesn't. It talks only of the 7th. Another point. If it is God here is talking about the Jubilee, why would he ask the hypothetical question, and if he shall say, what shall we eat the 7th year? If he was really talking about the Jubilee, and we were Israelites, what would be our greatest concern? Food for the 7th year? That wouldn't be as much of a concern, because you know you have the harvest of the 6th, somehow maybe you could get by. But if it was talking about the Jubilee year, you'd be concerned of the 8th year. That would be 2 years in a row that you wouldn't have food. That's what you'd be concerned with. But it doesn't ask about the 8th. It's asking about the 7th. It's talking about the every 7 year Sabbath year. So then this brings us to the question, what did happen on the Jubilee year? Well, if this is referring only to the Sabbath year, what happened the Jubilee year? Well, we believe that the land in the 6th year, God just made it bring forth for one more year. It's not designated, it's not spelled out anywhere in the scriptures. But it would only be natural. It would be logical. That's what would happen. And so here, brethren, we have what we believe is a correct chart of the first Sabbath and Jubilee cycle, starting from the time that they entered the land that God had promised and ending with the first Jubilee year in the year October of 1526 B.C. We believe that the Sabbath years were civil years, just like the Jubilee. And so the 49th year was completely over before the Jubilee year began. But this brings up one more problem, one other question. Having reference to when do we begin the counting of the Sabbath system? You recall in Leviticus 25, 2 to 4, the scripture said, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. And this is the second reason for the other charts, too, we might say, together with Leviticus 25. The thought is presented that the counting, the Sabbath year counting, would have had to have begun from the moment they entered, crossed Jordan, entering into the Canaan. And this was in the spring of 1575 B.C. And so the thought is that the land, or rather the counting, would have to begin there. And whereas you see in our chart, in order for the Jubilee to come out as it does in October 1526, which it must do if our chronology is correct, and we certainly believe it is, then the cycle of the 50 years starts six months before Israel crosses Jordan. How are we going to harmonize that? Well, brethren, we believe it can be harmonized from this standpoint. The land that God gave Israel, you recall Leviticus 25, it says, you shall observe the Sabbath when you come into the land that I will give you. Now, we believe that Israel began to receive promised land 6 months prior to the crossing of the River Jordan, that they began to receive land in October of 1576. There is no question, by the way, everyone, there's sufficient proof of scriptures that Israel crossed Jordan here in April, in the spring of 1575. There's many scriptures that show that it was the spring, it was April, it was Nisan when they crossed Jordan. But Jordan, or the land on the other side of Jordan, was not the first land that God gave Israel. 2.5 tribes of Israel were on the east side of Jordan. And brethren, those 2.5 tribes began to enter their land. In fact, the scripture very specifically in the second chapter of Deuteronomy, read the whole chapter, this is the basis for it, shows that it uses the exact terminology that you'll go into the land of the Amorites, the land that I will give thee. Something to those words, I'm not quoting exactly. So the 2.5 tribes actually received promised land east of Jordan 6 months prior to when Israel as a whole crossed Jordan into Canaan. And therefore we believe it would harmonize, that the cycle would begin to count from the time they entered the land. And here is when they entered, in October of the year 1576 B.C. But to prove that, brethren, is if you thought this was difficult to follow, that is more difficult. Let me just give you the scriptures. For those who want to look into it, you can see, you can ascertain, you can prove for yourself that Israel began to enter promised land east of Jordan 6 months in the fall of 1576, 6 months prior to crossing the Jordan. The scriptures are Deuteronomy 2, 14, verse 14, verse 18, verse 24, 25. Numbers 21, 12 to 15. Numbers 13, 20. Numbers 13, 25. And Numbers 14, 1 and 25. But together, those scriptures indicate that Israel entered promised land east of Jordan, the land of the Amorites, and 2.5 tribes settled, not only just in the beginning, but they had their land east of Jordan throughout the time when the land was divided, after the land was divided. That was their promised land. One last point. If it seems like it bothers us a little bit that we have to start the counting 6 months prior to the crossing of Jordan, you have the same problem with this interpretation of that letter in the reference to Brother Edgar. Because here's the Jubilee year. And if you were to go back 49 years in the Jubilee year cycle, notice what you have. Here is where they crossed Jordan. That cycle would have had to have started 6 months prior to the crossing of Jordan. But we believe the interpretation that it did, the land did begin to be given 6 months earlier than crossing of Jordan, does harmonize it beautifully. And so, brethren, to recap again, or to find when the first Jubilee year ended here in October of 1526 B.C. October 1526 B.C. It started counting 6 months before the crossing of Jordan. And so if the first one ended in October 1526, we know from our study of chronology we had 18 additional typical Jubilees times 50 or 900 years. It takes 900 away from 1526. We have October 626 B.C. as the last typical Jubilee. And thus we trust, brethren, if we've been able to stay with us, that we've shown evidence to show that the Sabbath year was a civil year, just like the Jubilee. And it beautifully harmonizes Brother Russell's reasoning in the second volume, that the cycles were not split in half, that the Jubilee began after half of the Sabbath year. No, it was 49 years. There was the full Sabbath year followed by one full year of the Jubilee. Our whole chronology is based on a 50-year cycle. But the question may be raised, how come Brother Russell printed this article on page 3574? Well, brethren, it was only a letter. It was a letter Brother Edgar wrote, and it had something like 18 separate and distinct chronological little charts or deductions in the letter. And Brother Russell had a great deal of respect for Brother Edgar, Brother Barton, and other of the pilgrims, and he printed their letters. But that doesn't mean that he concurred. Let's not get the thought that every time Brother Russell printed a letter, he agreed with it. Let's not think that at all, brethren. You recall the letter that one of the brethren wrote that Satan was already bound in 1874, and only the fallen angels were loose. That was never Brother Russell's thought, yet he printed it. But we would like to note now that that letter of Brother Edgar's was an early view of his. That is not the view that he had in his books that came out later in his charts. Here's a chart I think we're all familiar with. It is one of the charts of many that are on one long vertical chart. There's maybe 10 different charts in it. It's called the evening and the morning chart. Basically what it is that from the fall of Adam to October 2874 is a period of 7,000 years. And exactly in the middle, after 3,500 years, to the very year, to the very day, exactly in the middle, on one half of the middle dividing line, you have a Sabbath year of rest. The last typical Sabbath. And on the other side dividing line, you have the last typical Jubilee. It's a little hard to see here, so I drew another chart and blew it up a little so we can see it a little more clearly. The seventh creative day, 7,000 years long, began with Adam's fall, October 4,127 BC, ended October 2874. The exact center, 3,500 years, falls exactly on October 627 BC. And on one side, we have the last typical Sabbath year. On the other side, the last typical Jubilee year. And here is where the Annotype began. Now, let's just note Brother Edgar's reference to this chart. Because, brethren, this is a beautiful type, too. That we know we have the correct understanding on the Jubilees. Is it just coincidence that the exact middle of this 3,500 years falls where it does? We think not. Notice this is from Brother Edgar's book on page 122. In the first chapter of Genesis, each of the 6 days of creation is divided into an evening and morning. The great seventh day of Jehovah may also be equally divided into an evening and a morning. The central point of this great 7,000-year day is the date autumn 627 BC. That is the end of the 49th year of the last typical cycle and the beginning. Now notice, brethren, the end of the 49th year of the last typical cycle and the beginning of the last typical Jubilee year. This means that there were two rest years, a Sabbath year and the last typical Jubilee year exactly in the center of the... ended October 2874. The exact center, 3,500 years, falls exactly on October 627 BC. And on one side, we have the last typical Sabbath year. On the other side, the last typical Jubilee year. And here is where the Annotype began. Now, let's just note Brother Edgar's reference to this chart, because, brethren, this is a beautiful type, too, that we know we have the correct understanding on the Jubilees. Is it just coincidence that the exact middle of this 3,500 years falls where it does? We think not. Notice this is from Brother Edgar's book on page 122. In the first chapter of Genesis, each of the 6 days of creation is divided into an evening and morning. Great seventh day of Jehovah may also be equally divided into an evening and a morning. The central point of this great 7,000-year day is the date autumn 627 B.C. That is the end of the 49th year of the last typical cycle and the beginning, now notice, brethren, the end of the 49th year of the last typical cycle and the beginning of the last typical jubilee year. This means that there were two rest years, a Sabbath year and the last typical jubilee year, exactly in the center of the 7,000-year day of God's rest. In all the evening period of 3,500 years, there was not a single anatype, only types and shadows. The morning period, on the other hand, is the era of anatypes. In the beginning of it, there were still types, but the first anatype, namely the great anatypical cycle of 50 times 50 years, began at the very commencement of this morning period. So here we see that Brother Edgar clarified his view in this latest chart that it was indeed the Sabbath year was a civil year, and the cycle was a full 49 plus 1, bringing a 50-year cycle. And so here we have the chart again, just to recap how Brother Edgar brought out in that article that the evening period was the period of types, nothing but types in this first 3,500 years. But then came the middle of the 7,000 years. This was the morning time. Here is where the great anatype began. And ending, we don't go into all the chronology here, but in October of 1874, picturing the times of restitution, and then following this will come God's great grand jubilee of earth. The millennium is the jubilee of man. And here is the jubilee of earth, of the creative days. And then just one last comment of Brother Edgar's on page 35. I don't have it on the slide, where he verifies the same thought about the civil year. The scriptures indicate that the seventh month began what has been named the civil year, which pertained principally to the land and to slaves. The seventh month of the ecclesiastical year was the announcement of the year of release from slavery and death, the sabbatical year during which the land lay fallow, and the grand jubilee year of restoration. And also, brethren, we'd just like to note that Brother Russell did not remove the chart from the comments that were printed in 1909. That chart of Brother Edgar's is in the comments, which displays this reasoning right here, the last Sabbath year being before the center line and the last typical jubilee after. And so, brethren, we believe that we still have a beautiful picture, a beautiful, exact chronological type in the type of the jubilees. Let not us have anyone cause doubt to come upon it, because it is right. It is exact. There is no flaw in the beautiful picture that God has given us.
Thank you, Brother Tabak. As Brother Tabak had mentioned, the subject is rather complex, and he, realizing that, he's prepared a sheet on which there are at least six different charts that he had on some of the slides. Now, these will be available to you back of the room. So I urge you to pick up a copy, and it takes a little more than just the hour to understand the complete subject. So these are available. Help yourself. Six charts, and I think they'll be very beneficial to you. And again, I'll remind you that the study meeting will be at least part of it, or perhaps all of it, might be devoted to questions that you may have concerning the discourse this morning. Now, with the aid of this chart, you can review quickly if you have a question in mind and ask it, and Brother George will take charge of the answering of these questions.